I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with the co-founders of BrownSTEM, Michelle Amillis and Alma Maria Renaz. BrownSTEM offers innovative schooling for college and career readiness in STEM concentrations, serving BIPOC students in grades 6 through 12 in underserved communities. To learn more about BrownSTEM, visit brownstem.org. Michelle and Alma, welcome. It's so great to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, Michelle and Alma, you co-founded BrownSTEM in 2019. Can you share with us to start your backgrounds, how you met, and why it was so important to start up BrownSTEM? I know that's a lot. So, Michelle, if you want to just jump in with your background and what brought you into this area of concentration, that would be perfect.
Sure. Thank you so much. So, I have 21 years in education. This is going into my 22nd year, primarily serving in Title I schools. So to let the audience know, those are in communities that have a lot of BIPOC students, which stands for Black Indigenous People of Color. And so with that, one of the things that I found in my 21 years is that there's not a lot of schools really focused on college, career, and military readiness, specifically in the 22nd century careers, like the STEM careers, the science, technology, engineering, math, and medicine. And so BrownSTEM came as a result of me doing a lot of research around where we can really capitalize to make sure that our students are ready for these 22nd century careers. We have the blessing to be in San Antonio, Texas, which is second to DC for cybersecurity, which is the focus of our first STEM school. And so after 4 years of research and a pilot that I conducted last year, we are now embarking upon BrownSTEM, the actual design model, to actually build awareness, cyber education, and experiential learning for young people. So my experience ties into the educational component, and I'm going to turn it over to my co-founder, who has a strong background in cyber education.
Thanks, Michelle. So yeah, my experience is actually that of an educator who fell in love with tech. So I'm originally from Rochester, New York, and I went to school in Buffalo, New York, and I graduated with a undergrad degree in international relations and Spanish. And because I have an adventurous heart, I ended up taking a English as a second language teaching position in Latin America. And so I began my career as an international educator, which meant that I taught both in the classroom and virtually to students in Latin America, Europe, and Asia. And several years ago, I was teaching students in Europe, and I was doing so online. And I just became very interested in how we were doing what we were doing with the learning management systems. Now, of course, this is all prior to COVID. So we were using Skype, then we were using WebEx, and I got a real taste for what technology could do to empower education. And so I signed up for my first computer science class, and it was a real challenge because up until that point, I had only been exposed a little bit to HTML, and I had some computer science classes from back in the day when I was in primary school. And it had been, safe to say, some time since I had actually looked at any code. So I fell in love with the fact that technology and computer science could really be a game changer for me as a professional, but also I began to realize what it could do for the students that I was working with, the underrepresented students. And I actually became involved with a nonprofit that has a tech-based curriculum that is an international competition that in 12 weeks teaches girls, it's a program for girls ages 10 to 18, how to be entrepreneurs and to build a minimum viable product that is in an app solving a social problem. So I volunteered as an educator with this program for about 4 years. And thanks to that volunteer experience, I actually was recruited by another international school based in Mexico City to implement a technology program. And from there, I became basically the IT support, which has a lot to do with a lot of people who get their start in cybersecurity start at a help desk or as IT support. And that's how I started. I was basically the point of contact for over 200, the IT support for over 200 students, and additionally their parents, as well as the teaching faculty and staff at the school. And just to give you an idea, some of the parents that I was working with did not know how to read or write. And we were using technology to teach their children English as a second language. So I had to help them navigate the world of tech, dealing with these realities of not being able to read or write. So fast forward from there, I was offered a scholarship and to learn computer science, and And from there, I just went down the rabbit hole of cybersecurity, and I've been very fortunate to receive support from the security community to continue to learn and grow. At the moment, I work in tech as a developer advocate, which has a big factor of community outreach. And a big part of security is the human factor. And within that human factor, we have our wonderful developers who do not always develop with security in mind, which is, I know, a topic for a completely different interview, but this is actually where I have drawn all of my interests together as an international educator, as a computer programmer, and as somebody who is very interested and invested in social good. So this is how I got to where I am today. And thankfully, I met Michela through networking, and she asked if I would join her as the co-founder for BrownSTEM. And for the past few months, we have been building out our design team and just taking this, as we call it, as it is affectionately known as Michela's baby, and helping it to walk and eventually run and then fly.
Fantastic. And so from both of your experiences, I can definitely start to put together why it was so important to both of you to start up BrownSTEM. But would you like to speak to that as well? Just kind of what you, the need you identified, how you thought that you could service that need and deliver upon that for underserved communities and Black, Indigenous, and people of color?
So, one of the things is that maybe the audience wouldn't be aware, but right now there is a data point out there from the Department of Labor that says there's over 1 million unfilled cybersecurity positions. Sadly, there's only a 10% representation of BIPOC and women in STEM fields. When we don't embrace diverse pipelines, and the diversity of women in these exponentially growing fields, we limit the possibility of how much we can grow and how far we can really impact the communities we serve. And so what Alma and I find in working in similar communities is that the Latinx, the African American, Native American, and other indigenous persons are left out of those conversations, equations, schools, courses. And so BrownSTEM is sort of the culmination of both our belief that it should be open for everyone. Because when everyone is participating in these exponentially growing fields, we all benefit. nationally and internationally in the field itself of cybersecurity. And Alma, do you want to add on to that?
Yeah, definitely everything that Michelle has said, plus we have the other side of this coin, which is how we've gotten to where we are right now. So just looking from a more broad perspective when it comes to tech and to just the development of technology and different products, we know that having not only user engagement, so actually having, for example, in design, we talk a lot about empathy and empathy interviews, but also having a diverse team of engineers to build products for people. So I actually have a friend in Austin who is very much a diversity and equity and inclusion advocate, who talks about one of her favorite examples to use is how the automatic water faucets work different for different skin tones. And somebody, people can't see what I look like, but I am Latina, but I am very fair skinned. So my skin color registers differently with those automatic water faucets as somebody of my friend who is Black. And so, you know, if you don't have diverse teams building products for this multitude of people, you are going to end up with crappy products that don't work for everybody. And the water faucet is just one example. There are more examples. We have the example of the seatbelt, that there were no women on the design team for seatbelts. So women at the beginning of seatbelts, when we're talking about 40, 50 years ago, were being disproportionately killed or hurt by seatbelts. And so, you know, it's an issue that is not exclusive to education or exclusive to the business world or the tech world. It is something that impacts all of us. And if we're going to find solutions to our problems, we have to, one, realize how we got to where we are right now, and then two, have a multitude of people of different lived experiences, different ethnic backgrounds and identities and sexual orientations. I mean, we're talking real diversity. And as educators, we need to be more involved in how we are going to help create those diverse teams, but from an education standpoint. And cybersecurity in particular, my experience has been that it is, in general, it seems to be a little bit more on the ball, or at least willing to have these conversations, which for me, as a queer Latinx woman of color, it really gives me hope that this is how we're starting. We're starting our brown stem in cybersecurity, which I think in general tends to be a little bit more accepting of what we, now I'm using air quotes, what is considered different, because, you know, difference can be a lot of things, but cybersecurity is an area where I think it's really open and ready and willing to take a look at these diverse perspectives.
That's great to hear. And that's been, you know, an experience that others have shared as well, that it has been in general, of course, there's always the exception, but in general has been a really welcoming industry. And since it is, since we're on that topic, another point of diversity is socioeconomic status, and students in underserved communities generally lack awareness of the industry of cybersecurity. However, to your point earlier, Michelle, as San Antonio is such a strong cyber hub in our nation, and the discipline of cyber and the industry is growing so rapidly, are you finding that there's a good awareness in San Antonio for cyber for BIPOC students grades 6 through 12, or would you say that that lack of awareness remains consistent?
So that's a great question. I think that the way to kind of think about that is that I think students are aware generally. If you ask any student, I think even from grade K, about cybersecurity, they might be able to tell you something general like, yeah, cybersecurity is, you know, maybe protection of, you know, viruses or, you know,
stranger danger.
Yeah, stranger danger and that kind of stuff. Exactly. Right. Yeah. But as far as when we talk about awareness, Alma and I, we're talking about the unlimited possibilities of careers. Also, one of the things that we're asked a lot is, what if a student goes through BrownSTEM and they decide they don't want to go in cybersecurity? It's okay. Cybersecurity, all that they're going to learn, it can be used to be a doctor, a lawyer, an entrepreneur, a scientist, all of that. And so what we're finding is that, yes, they have a basic awareness, but as far as the multiplicity of how they can use that in any career, in leadership, in self-development, that part they're not aware of. And they're also, I don't think, aware of how broad cybersecurity is. So a lot of times we have students that say, oh, I don't want to be a geek and sit in front of a computer all day. And then Alma and I will have some conversations, say, do you know that that we need cybersecurity people in fashion? Really? So now all of a sudden their ears perk up like, tell me how and tell me more. So I think that on one hand, we're in a infrastructure, cyber hub, we're very lucky in San Antonio that everywhere you look, that sort of buzzed at you. But I don't think there's a tight connection for students to really understand how being in that type of environment, that there's a multitude of opportunities for them and how they can tap into it. I saw Alma shaking her head, so I think she wants to add to that.
Yes. And you know what? It again, everything you just said, plus the conversations that I have within the cybersecurity community is this aspect of you need to have security baked into all aspects of a business. Because, you know, we talk about what is a business crown's jewels. So this is like the things that they want to protect above all else. And I have to say that just as a business has its crown jewels, individuals are going to have their crown jewels, especially when we're talking about who we are digitally online. We have those things that we want to protect, you know, our passwords for our emails and our online banking and all of those that sensitive information. Those as individuals are our crown jewels. And having a non-traditional school that will prepare students with this security mindset as they go out into the world, if they decide to be lawyers, doctors, nurses, physical therapists, whatever career, entrepreneurs, whatever career path they choose, the reality is technology is not going anywhere. So we have to be completely aware of what that implicates for our own personal safety, our own privacy, and how that plays over into the digital world. There is a, it depends on which school you're in, but there is this, there's a class, it, sometimes it's taught in technology called digital citizenship, or maybe it's taught within a technology class. And digital citizenship is basically like civics 101, but on the internet. And so a big part of that, just like we learned, like in, you know, in civics with the stranger danger and, you know, perhaps we learned about different issues around our community. How does that play out when we live on a digital space, when we live in a digital space? So businesses are definitely, they want their customers to do things with safety and security in mind, because they're working in a digital space, they're working with technology, and their job is not to teach cybersecurity, or their job isn't to administer, you know, IT support perhaps, but the fact that that employee can be the first line of defense, or whether or not that business is invaded digitally, if they're attacked by malware, that is key. And so having that in a school means that the students, wherever they go, and coming back to my initial point, essentially wherever they go, security is going to be an issue. And so that extra, you know, having that extra edge and knowing what the fundamentals of security, cybersecurity are, is going to mean that they will actually perhaps end up being leaders in their field because they have the skill set that the other doctor or entrepreneur or, you know, whatever they decide to do doesn't have. And there is another point that I also wanted to mention, is that I really don't think that this is the type of education that is going to be like lost on anybody, because of, you know, if we have any like geeks or nerds listening, you know, the singularity is around the corner, according to Kurzweil. So we are only moving forward. And, you know, perhaps right now, especially during the pandemic, it might feel like we're not, but we are. And especially in education, Michelle and I can attest to how transformative and how uncomfortable these past months have been because of our digital transformation. So this, I really know from what I've heard from industry and from what I know as an educator, this type of education is not going to be lost on any student at all.
Absolutely. And so, Alma, you just mentioned how, you know, of course, and something we've talked about a lot on the show and everyone's talking about, of course, just how everything has changed, how digital forward our economy has become, our, you know, schools have become, like it or not, that's the world that we live in now, and everyone's adapting, and, you know, there are opportunities aplenty there. But with the Brown STEM, can you talk a little about the structure of, you know, in the school model you've established, and then also how that is perhaps, I'm not sure, but perhaps pivoting in light of online learning for due to COVID?
So great question. So Alma, did you want to go first or?
Yeah, because Michelle is going to be able to give a lot more information to answer your question. But One of the things that I want to say, like big picture, is Brown STEM is not a traditional school. So as a educator who went into tech, I saw this huge gap and what was being done in traditional brick and mortar schools and to what was being expected that recent college graduates or even high school graduates knew within industry. So the fact that Brown STEM is not, from the very get-go, is not being laid out as traditional is essential to what we're trying to do. So Michelle, I know that you're gonna be able to drill down more into that, but I just wanted to give that context.
Thank you so much, Alma. And yes, we pride ourselves in that the model is not traditional in that it is a teaching hospital model. So let me just kind of explain that. To give the audience sort of a perspective, when a doctor does his residency, he is not doing it from a classroom with a textbook. He is actually being a doctor, walking around with experienced doctors and learning in practice. So you have to attend the patients, and you're getting on the spot. Get your hands dirty, exactly. So our model, the teaching hospital model, our students are actually working hand in hand with industry professionals, community-based organizations, military professionals, higher education, with teachers and students respectively on projects. It is all project-based learning. The other part of it is that our school is not, although we may have a brick and mortar location, because legally we have to have that.
Sure.
However, you may come to visit and students won't be there because they could be at museum. We have a partnership with the San Antonio Museum of Science and Technology. who happens to have a cyber range that students could actually be learning right there at that range. So our philosophy, Alma and I, is that learning occurs anywhere. It could be home in a kitchen. They're actually doing a project on a tabletop. And our students, of course, know how to record that and upload that so that, you know, the teachers can see that as mastering concepts. They can be at, we have an installation called Port of San Antonio, which actually is building an innovation center that is going to be open to the community, where students will actually be interfacing with military cybersecurity professionals and learning skill sets that would not be otherwise learned in a classroom. We are in close proximity to a nationally recognized cybersecurity HBCU, St. Philip's College, that actually does a associate's program for cybersecurity that our students will be able to benefit there. So our model is really about sort of bringing everything to students' awareness and not limiting any opportunities. Once again, to say cybersecurity is this or that is sort of personalized, in that through exploration, the students will figure out which pathway to go. And we just want to be the facilitators, Brownstone, of making that happen for the students as they decide their path through exploration and project-based learning.
Incredible. And Brown STEM school options are available to students grades 6 through 12. And why is it so important to begin these conversations with sixth graders?
Great question. So one of the things that right now is a data point is that there's a lot of maybe cyber-focused high schools popping up all across the nation. It's a recent phenomenon, but I think because of industry pushing it, and funders really saying, hey, this is a huge gap, especially for BIPOC of women. We need to be proactive in creating spaces that promote awareness. But a lot of it is high school. And Alma and I both believe high school is too late.
Right.
Because in Texas, you have to declare a pathway. So if you're not really familiar with cybersecurity, or you only have that mindset of, oh, it's for geeks in front of a computer, you're not going to select it, right? Especially for BIPOC communities, because they haven't had any exposure. So they don't know anything about cybersecurity. So why would they select that as a pathway, right?
Right.
If you start in middle school, you're actually doing awareness. So one of the things we're doing right now is we have Cyber Lab. Cyber Lab stands for Community-Based Youth Building Engagement and Restoration Lab, which is an out-of-school time program, although because of COVID, parts of it's in school, because we don't have sort of the face-to-face, but it's all virtual and asynchronous. And that's going back to, we're going to do middle school. So just to let you know a couple of things we're doing with Cyber Lab, we're creating an all-girl middle school BIPOC cyber patriot team, which is, first of all, that's never been done in this community. So we're super excited about doing that. We're doing Girls Who Code Club. We have a gentleman who actually is in the industry. He's a cyber analyst, and he actually created a book called Selena Cyber Teen, which is really, it's written in poetry about cyber terminology. And then there's projects at the end to sort of stamp the learning. But we have a lot of great offerings, Code Dojo. We're going to be doing some mentoring with Boeing employees who are actually going to mentor the young lady. So this is all industry-based, cybersecurity, awareness, fun, gamification, coding, all kind of activities that's going to give them exposure in a fun format, all project-based. That we're hoping, because right across the street from the school that we're working with has a high school cyber P-Tech. And what I found when I talked to the project director is, we don't have that many middle schoolers that are aware of the school, which I think is really, interesting. But a part of it is because, and I think Alma will speak to this, is we're not really branding that in the communities that's there, that, you know, this is a viable option. And really presenting that to middle schools, I think by having them participate in after-school programs, mentors, you know, having them actually see, wow, this is a viable career that I can actually do and be successful at. And so I think that BrownSTEM is definitely leading in that, is that I wanted to, as well as Alma, is to be able to go back and start in middle school so that we are now building sort of this cadre of sixth graders who are almost banging at the door for high school, like, hey, this is the track I want to take.
Yeah, and that to also add to that, I was going to say, have you ever met a sixth grader? Sixth graders are, they're at that like really critical point where, especially as a parent of a middle schooler, I can say that technology is, it's how, and especially right now, it's how they build their own community. So I have a contact in cybersecurity who commented to me that his own children, they don't see a separation between IRL or in real life and their online life. It's all together. It's all merged together. So I think sixth grade is like the perfect moment, because a lot of these students, if they don't already, are going to be getting their cell phones, which is a whole other podcast, because that is in some circles, and especially in security circles, it's like some parents consider to be one of the most dangerous things you can do is to give your kid a cell phone. So instead of like freaking out and saying, oh, we're not going to give you a cell phone, let's start breaking it down and through education, talking about the different issues and concerns and things that students need to be aware when it comes to technology, and within that, when it comes to security. So, you know, I think that generally speaking, sixth grade is like that gateway age where a lot of things can, where students can learn a lot of really good things, a lot of really good positive habits, but they can also pick up some nasty ones that can stick with them perhaps the rest of their lives. So I think it's like that really important point in any young person's life to be exposed to something that could have a potentially life-saving positive impact, not only on themselves, but on their entire community. And that also brings me to the other issue or topic that I think is also really important to highlight, is the importance of representation that Michelle has mentioned, has alluded to, but this is why it's so important that we be in this community. Representation matters. And if we want to build diverse teams in industry, we obviously need to start with diversity in education. And in order for a student to be something, they need to be able to see it. So, you know, it's great to hear like, so-and-so is the first Black woman to do X thing. But for me, it's gotten to the point of why is this still, she's the first Black woman? Like, it's 2020, Black women have been doing some amazing things. So let's get more representation. And that is, I think, one of the core issues or the core elements of what is driving Michelle and myself and BrownSTEM.
Awesome. And since you launched in 2019, it sounds like you have great interaction in the San Antonio area with companies and experts already, but how can additional cyber experts and companies become involved and help BrownSTEM further your mission?
So once again, awesome question. We are still at startup stage, so there's a plethora of ways that people can get involved. One of the ways is we're still looking for design team members, as we have a small core right now, but folks who want to get involved with an awesome startup that we want to serve as a nationally replicable model to narrow the disparity gap for BIPOC and women in STEM can can definitely reach out to us to do that. Everything's virtual, so they do not have to live in a San Antonio community. The second thing is that as part of our model, we want to have as much industry, especially industry folks of color and women, to be a part of BrownSTEM as either an adjunct who with technology can be in Oshkosh, Nebraska, and we can actually, you know, either live stream them or, they can record and the student can actually see their video of them teaching a class. And they can either do it on a regular basis or a one and done. That means that they have one session because of their busy schedule. But we definitely want our students to get access to as many different industry perspectives. For instance, recently a company that is in Illinois, they do cybersecurity manufacturing, and I'm working with them to maybe do a virtual tour of their factory floor that our students could actually see that, and we can, you know, definitely build some curriculum from that for them to be able to see a different aspect of cybersecurity. The other thing is that we definitely want any funders, companies that would like to sponsor students and or BrownSTEM as we begin our work to build this platform. We're still early in that funding is definitely critical to keep supporting us so that we can continue with programming. Alma and I pride ourselves on doing things with high standards. So, you know, finding funds to get an outside evaluator to make sure that our programming has some outcomes that we can share with folks to say, this is what our students were saying from testimonials. Here's some data points that we were able to pull out to be able to share about what this program has meant to them and how they feel about a school that is going to be tailored for them to learn about the future careers of the 22nd century. And so those are just a few of the ways that you can partner with BrownSTEM. Alma, would you like to add on to that?
I would just add that I consider it really important to have a strong community based participation. So that includes our like larger community of cybersecurity industry. You hear a lot about the skills gap and that, you know, the industry can't find people that are suited for X role. I really think that if we are able to build a bridge of communication and involvement with industry, the conversation will start to move forward. And also, you know, as educators, we need to consider that, you know, why we're doing what we're doing. We're trying to prepare students for eventual industry jobs. That's one part of it, right? And if we don't have constant communication with the industry that we're preparing the students for, it almost seems like, what are we doing then? We need to have involvement from the industry and folks who are, you know, actively working in cybersecurity. And it's not just somebody sitting behind a computer trying to hack or do a penetration test. It's more than that. Cybersecurity is so much more than that. So I would just really go over that, you know, circle it with red marker, the importance of having buy-in from industry or participation from industry as mentors, because we also are going to have mentors for our teachers. Because as I learned when I was teaching computer science, you know, and educator, you go to school to be an educator, and you're not, you know, if you are a generalist, you're not like that means you're a generalist. You're not specialized in teaching, right. You know, any particular thing. It's just you're teaching the curriculum. And so teachers are going to need that that guidance and that support from industry as well. So I really would like to to encourage anybody who is working in cybersecurity, who is listening to us right now, who has just a little bit of that tickle of like, oh, I would like to help out in education somehow, but I don't know how I can do it. Give us a call. Look us up. We'll be more than happy to talk to you.
Well, Michela and Alma, this has been a great conversation. So grateful to both of you for doing this and for, coming on the show and telling us about all of the good work that BrownSTEM is doing.
Well, thank you so much. We both appreciate it. And we hope that your listeners definitely reach out to us, as Alma and I have been rolling our sleeves up, and we would love to have other folks come on at any entry point, interest, et cetera, to really push this out so that we can, make this a reality of getting more BIPOC and women into the field of STEM, especially cybersecurity. As we are sitting right now in our seats, there's another job that has just been created that needs to be filled.
And we
definitely want the diversity of women and Black, Indigenous people of color to fill those positions.
Definitely, Michela. And that, coming from my international relations background, there's a whole other area that, anybody who's interested in this like policy and governance side of cybersecurity, I'd love to have any conversations with anyone who is interested in that as well. And I just to really encourage people who are interested in getting involved to just reach out to us. And thank you so much, Hillary, for this opportunity to get the message of BrownSTEM out to the cybersecurity community at large. And please keep listening. This is a great show. And thank you so much for the invitation.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today were BrownSTEM co-founders Michela Millis and Alma Maria Renaz. To learn more about BrownSTEM, visit brownstem.org. And you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.